You know, the Bible says, be ready to be instant, be ready to preach in season and out of season. And today's definitely was an out of season day for me. Not because I'm out there in some gross sin or whatever, but you know, you're just getting those times. You know, this week was a busy week trying to get ready for team week, get the house done, you know, help Mike Falk do with the shower and all that. And then the lessons the Lord taught me this week, though, now that's a whole nother ball game. He showed me some things about myself that I need to correct, and trying to take all that in consideration, and then, you know, doing your own studies and stuff. And sometimes it can get you out of season. And but I thank God for it. I think God has been merciful. And we're in the home stretch of why I believe in the King James Bible. This will probably be the last week that I preach on this. And I'm going to get right into it. I brought a book. I want to read something out of it that I read. And we're going to start off with it. And it says that the guy's talking about where corruption started with these new Bibles. And it says that it begins with Genesis 3:1 in Eden. The reader of Genesis 3:1 through 6 will observe how the English text, that's talking about the King James Version, was preserved for the layman's use. The standards for critical scholarship, which are high enough to correct any of these newer versions. They're saying that the King James Bible is so right on that this King James Bible can correct any one of those newer versions. And so, I mean, just the studying I've been doing in this thing has been absolutely amazing. I'm astounding of the things. And now, I'm not a very smart person, but neither am I a dummy. It's just I have to learn things, like this book that I'm reading. This will be my second time around on it, because it sometimes it takes me two or three times to get it. But I'm so determined to learn. And I, you know what I told the Lord? I said, Lord, I don't want the knowledge that's going to puff me up like these people out there are. I want the knowledge just because I want to know you. I want to know where your word is. I know where it's from. It's from him. But I want to understand a little bit more background, a little more history on the King James Bible. And so I'm really just determined. But anyway, so I was reading this. And he says this. He says there's four telltale signs of a corrupter, somebody who's corrupted the King James Bible. It says, number one, all corrupters subtract from the words. Genesis 2:16 with Genesis 3:2 shows you that that's the serpent, and he's taking the words out of what God said. He's twisting it all around. He says, number two, or they will add words. Genesis 2:17 with Genesis 3:3. He's adding words. He's adding things that God didn't say. Number three, or they deny the sovereignty of God. Genesis 3:3 with 2:17. And he's saying, let me read number four. He says, all desire the knowledge in order to be as gods. Genesis 3:4 through 6. He said, that's what all corruptors, those are the four telltale signs of corruptors of the King James Bible. And it just hit me, and I sat back and I looked, and I'm replaying the history in my head of all, you know, all the people. Did you know that just about every one of them either lost their voice, they can no longer talk permanently. They've been in mental hospitals, they've been in jail, and most of them have been in court cases since they've done that to put out these new versions. And I'm just telling you, if you go to the book of Revelation, the very last book, it tells you sternly, do not add, do not take away from my word. But that's not only in the New Testament. Deuteronomy 4:3, right? Did I get that right, Amy? Let me look it up. Deuteronomy 4:3, I think it is. Let me just turn there real quick. Deuteronomy 4, verse 3. Nope. Can you, huh? 3:2. 3:2? Okay. No. Well, you can look it up. Anyway, so also, it says that that we're not to add unto it in the book of Deuteronomy. And she'll eventually find it. And so not only do we have the warning in the Old Testament, we have the warning in the New Testament not to add or take away from his word. Now, if you go back and you read even the NIV and all that, those words are in there telling them not to do that. And yet they choose to do it. 4:2? Okay?
Yes.
Deuteronomy 4:2. Let's look. You shall. Oh, there it is. He said, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. I mean, that's it. Why? Because they're His commandments. These are His words. He has the right to tell us, don't change my book. You understand? But they want to change the book. Why? You know, let me see if I can find this. Let me just look here real quick. You know, and I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to go here real quick. And I'm going to, Amos. Amos is a pretty tricky book to find anyway. It says in Amos that, gosh, I'm going to lose my, here we go. I can't find it. Anyway, in the book of Amos, it might be, you know, I got to write these things down when they come to me, you know, and sometimes I don't. Here we go, Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Now listen to what he says. Not of the famine of bread or thirst or water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. There's a famine going on in the United States right now where people are not hearing the word of the Lord. They're going out there. We were just listening to something on the way here. And please, when I put this on the website, anybody who's listening on this website, I don't hate gay people. I love gay people just like God loves gay people. I just don't like what they do just like God doesn't like what I do. They're saying, God's not looking at them going, oh, your sin is better than Dale's. No, your sin is just as crooked as mine is. You're guilty before God just as mine is. And I'm not bashing them. But I'm just telling you this. Friday, the Supreme Court made America a sodomite nation.
Yeah, yeah.
Drugs are coming. They're going to legalize marijuana and all that. I'm just telling you now, man. America is heading down a road that the book of Romans, Paul warned us about. That America is being turned over to itself. Here's what's going on. This is the reason why all these corrupt versions have to come out. Why? Because there's no other way for them to get around it. Go ahead and try to tell me two ladies who are preachers. They're homosexuals. They just got married. Two ladies and they're preachers in a church. How are they going to get around that if they're reading the King James Bible? They can't. Therefore, they go and get the other corrupt versions. You understand? What I'm telling you now is when you have a King James Bible there in front of you, it's going to tell you, no, no, that you can't do that. It's not acceptable. And it's not because it's not acceptable to me. It's not acceptable to God. He's the creator. He's the one who laid the laws down. He's the one who told us the way we are supposed to live our life. But you know what? They don't want that. So they go out there to all these other corrupt versions, and that's what they do. They try to bring God down to their level so they can live any old way they want and call themselves Christians. America's in a sad state right now. You ask my wife, before salvation, I wasn't all about America. I couldn't even stand America, could I? I wouldn't put a flag up. I didn't pledge allegiance, none of that. Since I got saved, that's changed. Just to let you know, I got a flag up in my house. You come to my house, I got a flag waving right on my front porch. I say the pledge of allegiance, take my hat off. I teach my children to do that and all that. I love America where I'm at today, where I live. I thank God that I was born in America. But America has been turned over to the lust of their heart. And when you come at them with this, you're in a warfare. Because you're not telling them what you think. You tell them what God thinks. You know what they say? God doesn't think that way about me. Well, where would you get that from? Here, let me show you in the Bible what He thinks about you. Oh, I don't use that Bible.
If they do, they pick up what they want to say.
You see? That's right. I don't use that Bible. Of course you would. Let me tell you why you wouldn't use that Bible. You wouldn't use that Bible because God will let you know exactly who you are, what you are, where you stand with Him. That's why. And it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing that people don't want God anymore. They don't have a fear of God in one lick of bit. And it's sad. It's a sad thing. I always fear my children. I fear for my children. I fear for them. I fear for their children. My granddaughter, I fear for her. I fear for Chase and my Jenny, who's going to be my other granddaughter. She's going to be born in Oklahoma. I fear for them coming into this world. What's it going to be like for them? Anyway, turn with me to Luke 1, please. Luke 1. I have to read that because, you know, if you want something to compare things to, you go ahead and see these four things in their inner person's life, and you can tell they're a corrupter. They have to be a corrupter. Why? Because God will not ever come down and transform to what they want Him to be. He is who He is. That's all there is to it. It's over, and, you know. They believe that some of the old original Greek texts, they believe they're inspired, but they don't believe that God can preserve them. How small of a God do we have if we think that He cannot give us a perfect book? Now everybody in here would raise their hand saying God is all-powerful. I know you guys would. You'd also say that God knows where every atom, neutron, and proton, and everything else is. Yes, He would know that. So then tell me, why can't He give us a perfect book? Does that make sense to me? How do those people who say they can't get God, they don't even believe their books are perfect. They don't believe there's no such thing as one to even exist. Let me tell you this. Doug, when God said, Doug, now you're my child. Now I need you. Jesus says this specifically. If you love me, keep my words. Another time He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now tell me, if you can't find God's word, how can you obey it? Wouldn't God have to give us a book for us to obey? That is His book? That agrees with what He says? That would only make sense to me. I can't see. Well, you know, us as parents, Kyra's going to say it probably one day in her life. Gosh, I really wish this baby was born with an instruction manual, because they're not. But let me tell you this. When you got born again, God gave you an instruction manual. It's that book sitting right on your lap. He's not so cruel to go ahead and not give us an instruction manual after salvation. He gave it to us to live by. But who wants to live by it? You see, people are too busy about themselves. Too busy worrying about gaining the whole world, and they're going to lose their soul in the hell. People can't believe God would be, God ain't so cruel. God is love. You're right. His love put Him on that cross so you wouldn't have to go to hell. But don't you think God isn't righteous? Don't you think He would compromise His righteousness for one second? God wouldn't tell a white lie that saved you from hell. He said, God is love. Yes, you're absolutely right. And it put Him on that cross so that you didn't have to pay that penalty. But don't you think for one second He's going to compromise His righteousness? He wouldn't compromise His righteousness to save me from hell. If that's the case, before Lucifer even said he was going to ascend above God, don't you think He would have took care of it? God's not a compromiser. God's not a compromiser, but we are. And God knows that. And God knows that. He understands what's going on. But we don't. I don't understand. Gosh, why are you letting all this happen? I know one thing. He's got to come to pass. That's what I do know. It's all this stuff has got to come to pass. It just has to happen. And you know what? It just makes me look and go, boy, we're getting close, Doug. Where Jesus Christ came tonight, brother, huh? Amen. I'm afraid of heights. All I say, Lord, just make it quick for me because I'm afraid of heights. I don't want to see me ascended, you know. And it says in a twinkling of an eye, I'll be up in heaven. Good, because I don't want to see how high I'm going. You know. All right, I had you guys turn to Luke 1, right? I'm going to read 1 through 4. Luke 1, 1 through 4. For as many have taken in hand and set forth an order, a declaration of those things which are surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding in all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things whereon thou hast been instructed. Dr. Luke, he's a doctor. And he's letting you know that he didn't write like all the other Gospels. He's letting you know he had a little more order, a little more construction in the way he wrote things, because he wanted you to know, for without a shadow of a doubt, that these things were given unto you. They were given unto you, and it says, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having the perfect understanding of all things, the very first to write in order, most excellent. He wanted us to know exactly what happened. He wanted us to understand it perfectly. And he wrote, you read his. Luke's the only one that noticed the blood of Jesus coming out of his wife, because he was a doctor. He would notice that kind of stuff. Doctors would notice kind of things like that. So Luke is really deep. He gets real physical. You read behind Luke's writings in the Bible, he's more physical. He notices more physical things than the other three Gospels. Now, does that make it not good? No. Doug, if you, me and you seen something, our stories were different. It'd be the same thing. It'd be truthful, but it would say the same thing, but it would just be told in a different way. And Luke just wanted us to know. He said, for sure, these things that are written. You know, a lot of these Greek scholars, they want to say that the Apocrypha is not a good thing to translate with. Go back to the inspired Greek. The Greek is what they believe is inspired. But what they don't know is they go back to 350 A.D., the Apocrypha was already there, and that's where the Apocrypha helped translate that Greek that they're using to translate their new Bibles. So see, they have no clue what they're even getting into. They just think all this knowledge has got them all puffed up, and they're not reading behind what they're doing. They're not understanding where these things are coming from. They're not searching. They just think, oh, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to go out there. No, you don't know what you're doing. God knows what he's doing. Stop messing around. Leave it alone. You know, he's been purified 7 times, the Bible says. Anyway, let's see where I left off. For the word of God is quick, Hebrews 4:12. Powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder, and soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me tell you, and most of you know, because most of you study your Bibles every day. You can't tell me that this Bible won't expose you for who you are. You can't tell me that it won't expose your thoughts and your intents. And I'm going to say another thing. It's quick. That quick means alive. This book has made me alive. Alive. Forevermore. I mean, I'm more alive than I've ever been in my life. Just my thought process alone. I sit back and I'm in absolute amazement. Because the thought process that I have now, the thinking that I do, the construction of the way I say sentences and all that, it may not mean much to you guys, but I'm telling you now, I was a street guy. I talk street. Sometimes you'll hear that pop up when I'm talking. So I got to put that stuff under subjection. Because for 40 years, that's what I did. But God has structured the whole thing so differently. And it all comes from reading the King James Bible. It all come from just reading that thing and seeing it. The way it changed the structure of my life, the way I run my family. I mean, all that stuff all came from this book. It's something no book has ever done to me. Now, when I was in prison, when I did jail time, I read more books than they can write. I'm just telling you, I read books. And I'm not talking about Bible. I'm talking about before I even started getting into the Bible, I read some serious books. And I could read a lot of books. But you know what it never did to me? It never changed this inkling of me. You know, I had somebody tell me the other day, he said, I believe NIV and ASV, God can use those to save somebody. I'm going to tell you this, 100%, 100,010%, 400,010,000%, I know for a fact God wouldn't use that garbage to save a soul. If that's the case, then go ahead and get me a poet book, and I can go ahead and lead somebody to Christ with that. Faith coming by hearing?
The word of God.
The word. Well, what's the word of God? Either it's the NIV, the ASVB, the AV, or the RSV, or it's the King James Bible. Your choice. What one is the real word? You can't have it all. You got to make that choice. You got to make a stand. Either God's going to save you by his word, or he's going to save you by some garbage. And I just don't think it happened. Because I'm going to tell you this now, my wife. How much? You read the NIV quite a bit, didn't you? NIV churches and all that stuff. Let me tell you, her life changed a tiny bit, but you know what all that was? On the outside. The outside things she's done. Her inside was just as corrupt and just as separated from God as ever. Until she started reading that King James Bible, and God showed her where she really stood with the Lord. Amy was a good person. I mean, she did some filthy stuff. But as in this world standard, she's a pretty clean person. She wasn't clean in God's eyes. I tell you that much right now. But you know what? Then NIVs and all that kept her applying to it.
Yeah.
You ask her, was she going to go die and go to hell? Ask her. She'll let you know.
I don't have to put any words in her mouth. She'll give her own testimony to that baloney.
That's exactly what it is, baloney. We see in verse 10, he also had seed. Oh, I got to read. That was from the verse, Hebrews 4:10. Turn to Hebrews 4:10. We'll go back to that. Hebrews 4:10. I'm going to show you something now. And I'm going to read Hebrews 4:10. It says, for he hath entered in his rest. He also hath seed from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That example of unbelief, God has rested. God is done giving us prophecy, everything that we need to know he's given us. It's all here. It's all written there. God gives a strict warning at the end of his word. Don't add, don't take away from. So he's entered into his rest. He's done giving us what we need to know. It's good for 2015, just like it'll be 30, 60, 80, 90, 100 years from now. That King James Bible will be just as good. God is done, unless he comes back. God is at rest. He's done giving us prophecy. Don't you think for 1 second, just bear with me here a second. If God wanted to write another book or another Bible, don't you think we would know it for sure, 100%? Yeah. Don't you honestly think we would know? We would. For us who are believers, we would know for sure it's from the Holy Ghost. If God had, he's not. He's done. That's it. I mean, people have a hard time just grasping that. Again, they're trying to bring God down to their level. Again, that's what they're trying to do. Again, God is saying, no, you got to come up to my level. God's not going to bow himself to us. He's not going to do that, okay? So we see it in his own word, where he's at rest. In verse 10, it says, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did. God has ceased from giving us any more Bibles. He stopped using prophets and many other things because he has the word, the King James. He's given us. Anything and all things we need to know of God or about God is found in his word. He has preserved it and given to us. He says in John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus in me, the word of God, gives me the faith that the King James Bible is the perfect word of God, and it makes it easy for me to believe that. Because I have the Holy Ghost living inside of me. Because I am now a saved, born-again child of God. I don't have to fight saying that's not the Word of God. It's so easy for me to believe that it is the Word of God. That God gave me His own personal Word. That is His Bible. That I'm so convinced on it. So convinced on it that I believe 100% in my heart that I'd be willing to die for it. Even more so in the past month and a half, 2 months. Not that I didn't believe that was not God's Word. But the Lord is just showing me things beyond belief about that being His true word. And I believe that. And I'm not going to waver for anybody. I love my Bible. I love Jesus Christ. I love what He gave me. I love what He's doing. I love what He's continuing to do. And I look forward to getting into that Bible. I look forward to studying that thing. I look forward to preaching that thing. I mean, there's nothing like having, you know why? Because I don't have a religion. I have a relationship. That's exactly what it does. It builds a relationship. How do me and you build a relationship? Then I have to get to know you? Then I have to spend time with you? Well, that's what we have to do with the Lord. How are we going to know? How are we going to fall in love with Him if we're not spending time with Him? Well, I can't touch Him. You know what He said? Blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe.
Yeah.
Why? Because He knows we have the Word right here. Jesus Christ is the spoken Word of God.
John 1:14, read it. John 1:14 says the Word became flesh.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be talking about Jesus Christ. That'd be that Word you're sitting right there in front of you. That's what it says.
Thank you, Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. It says that I'm going to end with this. It'll take me a little while to preach it, but it's my belief that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Man, I already turned it. 1:15. 1 Peter 1:15. And I'm going to show you something that's impossible to do with those other versions, but it's also impossible to do if you're not a saved person. 1 Peter 1:15. I'm going to read a few few verses here. 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written." Now see, that's where the division starts. Because it is written. They don't believe it was written. They believe, and I can go and show you, they believe it takes anywhere from 30 to 100 books to compose one King James Bible. And so it's not even a King James Bible. What they do is they you know, if you say, "Hey, what is the Word of God? Where is the Word of God?" They'll say, "Come here," and they'll bring you to one of their libraries, and they'll show you the whole array of books they have, of commentaries and everything else, and they'll go and say, "Well, you want to know what the Word of God is? Well, let me grab this 1881 of this, and this 1700 of this," and they'll just keep going, 30, 40 different books. And then all these commentaries and pulpit commentaries and all this and that. And they'll say, "Now you keep reading that, then you might almost have the perfect Word of God. It's not quite there yet." I'm just telling you this. I don't believe we have such a cruel God that would make us to go through such a thing when He gave it to us right here. Let me ask you something. At the Tower of Babel, God had to separate it. He had to confuse the language. Why? Because they were building a tower to reach God. We're in that same predicament today because of the one language. With all the stuff that these people are doing, they're trying to build a tower to God. We're back in the age of trapped in Babel because that English, because of what's going on. When a German professor writes a paper in Germany, how does he write it? In English. When he goes to hand that paper over to one of his Chinese buddies, how is it written? In English. When that Chinese guy writes the answer back, it's written in English. You see, back at the Tower of Babel, it was all one language, and they were trying to build the tower to be up to God. I'm telling you now, that's what's going on in America today. These people have taken, because we're all one language, they're taking and think, because they, listen, they're, you know what they're saying? They're saying that something that was written by man has more power and authority than something that was written by God. They're trying to build their own Babels back there. They're trying to get that thing back on again. They're trying to build that tower to God again. Their own God. But they don't understand that they're blinded by the God of this world. They're blinded. You know what? Isaiah 14, the devil says, "I'll be like the Most High God." He didn't say it was going to be opposite. And he put these guys right in their place to use them to do that very thing. God is kicked out of everything. He's been kicked. You guys all know where a guy's been kicked out of. And tell me, and since these new versions have come out, since they've become such a hot commodity, how much better is America today? Mm-hmm. People can't, they don't understand it. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 4:4 says their minds have been blinded by the God of this world. They're totally, they can't see that. They don't understand what, you guys in this room understand it. You see it. Why? Because your eyes have been opened. Why? Because the glorious gospel of Christ shined on you. It made you see, what's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Right there. It's in your hands. It's been shined. It's opened your eyes. It made you see. I know my world's been turned upside down. What's that song that colored guy sings from Hamburg? He says, when you got saved, he goes, "Now your world's been turned upside down." Not in a bad way, but in a good way, because all the things that I thought was okay, I understood. Whoa, it's not okay. So I, seeing things in a different light. Alcohol used to be cool to me, I thought. No, it's not. The sex perversions and all that stuff, I was all right with drugs and beating people up and robberies and all that. But you know what? It's not okay. I don't see it as okay. I see things so differently. I see that Bible as being the true Word of God. I see that Christianity and the true Christianity, those who follow what Jesus Christ says, those who follow that Bible, I see that as the right way. I understand that. I really, in my heart, this doesn't have to be convinced anymore. It's already convinced enough. But I would have never seen that before. I couldn't have said, I would have said, I don't believe that's 100% the Word of God. I can say that today. With a whole lot of confidence. More confidence than I ever had. I believe it. So he says, 1 Peter, did I read that? "Be holy for I'm in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I'm holy." Verse 17, it says, "If you call on the Father, who, without the respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, past the time sojourning in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold and vain conversation, being saved. You're not saved by anything you've done. You're not saved by your lifestyle. My lifestyle doesn't mean that I'm saved. My lifestyle just reflects that what happened on the inside of me. We're not ever saved. A person is not saved by their lifestyle.
I got saved by Jesus Christ. I got saved. Why? Because repentance and salvation came because of Jesus Christ. I finally seen who I really was. Now my lifestyle changed is because of what happened on the inside. I said this at 1 o'clock back in the book of Ezekiel. The dead man's bones.
The dead man's bones, God started putting the sinew back, the muscles, the skin, that all came back. But then people were still dead. It wasn't until God breathed on them that they had life. I'm just telling you now, I walked around for 40 years. Matter of fact, for the last 4 years before I got saved, I sat underneath preaching of a King James Bible at Black Creek Baptist Church. And the sinew started coming on me. The muscle came on me. And it wasn't until Jesus Christ breathed on me that I came alive.
That's right.
You understand? People claim salvation. They claim this and they claim that. But inside, they're dead men's bones. They have dead men's bones. It looks good on the outside. I can really convince you real good that I'm a saved person. How is that person when they're alone? What's their thoughts? What hope do they really have inside? How's their conscience? You see, those are all things we can't see, but God surely knows. God surely knows that. Let me ask you something. For whatever reason, if I just started going out there to hang out with Jehovah's Witnesses, I'd look pretty good. My life would be pretty cleaned up, wouldn't it? What if I joined a YMCA? Don't you think I'd start looking good, Doug? Working out and stuff? The outside appearance doesn't mean a darn thing. Bodily exercise profiteth little. God, Jesus Christ is worried about the inside. The inside. He wants you to see and expose you for who and what you really are. And I'm just telling you now, as God is my witness, there's only one book that I know that has the power to do that, and it's right here in our hands. The only one. I don't believe the other ones have the power to do it. If you believe an NIV and all that has the power to do it, then I'll go get the Satanic Bible, and I'll start reading it to you, and hopefully you'll get saved. That's what you're telling me. No. It's the written, inspired Word of God that's infallible, that sits in our hand. Why would it say that it's sharper than a two-edged sword? Why does it say it's quick? Why is it divided between the thoughts and intents of our heart? A King James Bible can do that. The other ones cannot. Why? Because it's trying to bring God down. It's trying to bring God down. It's not ever going to do that. I'm sorry, the person can't see. When they remove the blood of Jesus Christ out of their Bible, when they take and switch where it's talking about Lucifer and they put the name of Jesus Christ on Lucifer, you're telling me that I can take that Bible and win somebody's soul with it? It's no better than using a satanic Bible to do the same thing. That's the devil's Bible. That's not God's Word. And not only do they mess with that, but then they have to go change the songs. They have to go change everything else that comes along with it. So it's just, you know, it's one thing after another that they have to mess with.
Yeah.
Why? Because you know what it makes them do? You know what a Bible like this does? When you first start coming, you don't understand what's going on, but you start feeling uncomfortable. You know? What's that? You know, you go out there, oh, that was a good Sunday service. You go out there and you do something and you go, oh, that's not right that I did that. You go, where did that come from? You see? It makes people uncomfortable. They don't like what they're feeling when a King James Bible is preached. So if they just get rid of it, just eradicate that. Just go ahead and get rid of it. Then they don't have to worry about that conviction anymore. That's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. But I'm telling you now, that very thing you hold in your hand, that's a life changer. There's power in that thing. It's alive. It's not dead. That's just not black and white words on it. That thing's alive. I can say that because it's done it for me. Done it for me. It says, You're not saved from things of silver and gold or your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of this world. If he was ordained before the foundation of this world, and if he is the word of God that was made flesh, then why are they changing it? Because they don't believe that he was ordained before the foundation of this world. They can't. It's impossible. The Bible says it's impossible. Impossible. Let me go on here. And it says, before verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times unto you. This includes us today. We're in the last days. Verse 21. Whom by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. You see that? Whitherall shall a young man cleanse his way. Psalm 119:9. You can go on and on and see what the word of God. You know what? What is the truth? Jesus says, I am the truth and the way and the life. Again, how do we purify our souls? By the truth. The truth. The truth is the word of God. That's what's going to purify your soul. And it says, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Here we go. But of incorruptible by the word of God. Which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God lives and abides forever. And we have it right here. And you know what? That's how we're going to be. That's how we're going to be changed. This is how our lives are going to be different. This is how we're going to purify our souls. By what? It says, by the incorruptible word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 24, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth away. But wait, ready? But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. And forever. The word is preached, it says it's preached unto you. The very word. Why? Because it's the gospel, the light, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of what he does. It's what he wrote down for us. It's what he's given us to follow. It's what he's given us for instruction in righteousness. Do you see many people wanting instructions in righteousness? They've gone and kicked God out of everything, everywhere. You know what? It started in the homes, though. That's where it started. That's where all this baloney started. People just started kicking it out of their homes. You know what? And then after it left the homes, actually it started in their hearts. Then it left the homes. Then it left the schools and so on and so forth. And then somebody had this brilliant idea. Why don't we make this easier to read? Really? Making it easier to read and changing the words are totally two different things. Making it easier to read and taking words out and adding words are two. You've missed the point. You're not just making. You didn't make it easier to read. You went in there and you changed things that weren't supposed to be changed. You added things that weren't supposed to be added. You took out things that weren't convenient for you. If I'm going to make something easier for it to read, I'm not going to change the whole meaning. But they have. I believe it was 32,600 some times. That's what they've done. That's what they've done to a King James Bible. You know, the NIVs. They've taken out 30-some-odd thousand passages and verses and removed them or added to them. That's what they've done. But you're trying to make it easier to read? You ever try to read some of those words in there? I don't even know the definition for it. But I'll tell you what. Let me see. Can Autumn read that? Sure can. Can Luke understand it? Sure can. 10 and 7. Why can't they understand it? Here, you got an old street thug. How come I can understand it? You know, if I said, Doug, I need you to read this, I don't know if you like poetry, but I need you to read this novel, okay, this murder novel. You get a few pages in and go, you know, I'm really not getting what this book is saying. Do you think you've stopped reading it, or do you want to know what's at the end of it? You're going to keep going because you want to know what's at the end of it. But you tell somebody, hey, they go, I can't read that. I don't understand that Bible. Well, read it. Just keep going. You'll get it. God will give it. He'll teach you that. I don't know. It's too, you know, I'd rather just go over here. You're lazy. Just admit it. You're lazy. Go to them other books because you're lazy. You think it's easier to read. You know, King James, the King James language was never a spoken language. Why? Because it parallels Hebrew and Greek. And so what it does is, you go ahead, and some of them were close. You know, the poets and all that stuff, they spoke almost of King James, but it wasn't quite King James. Because the way the King James, that's why they wrote the King James in the language that they did, because it would parallel Greek and it would parallel Hebrew into exactly what it means without changing anything. Without changing anything whatsoever. 54 men sat there and they had to agree 100%. On every single word, jot, diddle, chittle, whatever you want to call it, there was nothing that was put in that book that they did not agree 100% on. They all could dream Greek and Hebrew. They all could speak it. You see, God knew. Now, they come from all different backgrounds. And this is what they formulated. I'll tell you now. Go ahead and sit 54 people down today and tell them the right one. How many Bibles do you think are out there, eh? Roughly, did you think that one time we looked? Couple, 200, 300 different Bibles. If you have the perfect, each and every one of you are writing the perfect Bible, then why do you keep writing them? Why do you keep putting them out there? Why do they keep contradicting each other? That's all they do is contradict each other. One Bible contradicts this one, oh, we don't agree with the NIV because it, you know, contradicts us here. We don't believe in the ASV because, and every one of them contradict each other. So they get into all this garbage, and you know what it is? It just comes down to money.
Yes.
And it comes down to them bringing God down to their level. And it comes down to them not wanting what God has for them. As hard as it was, I thank God. I thank God that He showed me for what I really was. That's a hard statement to make, because you know what? Most people don't want to look and see what God has for them. I know a lot of Christians who are supposed to be King James believers that say they love the Word of God, but they'll pick and choose what they're going to do out of it. They'll pick and choose what they're going to serve out of it. Oh, you know, that kind of doesn't fit. Oh, okay. Do you really believe it? Is it really something you're ready to sell out to? That's a lot. It's a huge question on the human being. Because there's going to be things in that Bible we'll just go, how am I going to do that, Lord? How am I going to get to that point? He knows. He understands. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. Why? Because He knows we're humans. We're going to do that. We're going to fall on our face. You know, I always tell people, please don't look up to me, because I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to say things that I don't mean and all that. I'm a human being. The one who's not going to hurt you is Jesus Christ. That's not the one they want. They want some person to help them. I can't help you. I mean, I can come in and counsel with you and this and that, whatever. But I'm just telling you, the real victory is going to be in Jesus Christ. The real hope that you need to see is you need to see past Dale Warren. You need to see Jesus Christ. You know what? A lot of my family's not saved because they look at me and go, Dale Warren was bad. He needed to change. They don't see themselves as bad. Dale needed it. He was out there robbing people, drinking, drugging. I'm not that bad. Therefore, they don't need Jesus Christ. That's what's in their hearts. But they don't understand. You better look at the one who's telling you you're lost, not me. Don't look at my behavior. You go ahead and look at what God is trying to show you. Go ahead and look at what God's trying to get you to see. Don't look at me for it. And so this is just some of the stuff that I've been learning over the past few weeks. Why I believe wholeheartedly in the King James. I love my Bible. I love to read it. I love to read it. You know what? You know, Doug, where I get most of my victories? When I pray that word back to God. That's His word.
Yeah.
That's His word. If I have an issue, I'll say, Lord, this is what You said in Your word. And I don't go there being all high, you got to do it. No, this is Your word, Lord. You said this. Now, can we work? Let's do something here. It'll show me what this is. You want me to live this? You really want this to be part of my life? You really want this to be part of my ministry or whatever? Then you have to reveal that. You got to show me the way. I want it to be clear, because I'm telling you, I'm pretty good at making mistakes. Pretty good at it. But when I'm following the direction of the Lord, we do pretty good. And so that's where I want to get. I don't want to ever sit here and tell anybody, yep, you can be saved and never ever have to pick up your Bible again. That would be, I know people who say they want to get their lives straight and all that, and they say, well, I'll say, well, how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to stop reading the Bible and then stop coming to church. I had somebody tell me that, didn't I? You want to get your life right, but you want to put down the Bible and stop coming to church? You think that's really, let me ask you, I said, before you started coming to church and before you started reading your Bible, how was your life? Oh, it was this and that. I said, what do you think it's going to be like if you stop? Change your life with the Bible. Change your life in church. And let God do what He needs to do. And I'm telling you now, it's definitely life-changing. And so as you guys know,